1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and I would like to read this evening, if I could, let me go ahead and read verse number 28 of 1 John chapter 2. I would like to preach tonight upon the subject of the topic, pay attention. And I think you will see, as we begin to read the Bible, how that topic is substantiated in this text. Verse number 28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And especially tonight, I do want to hone in on verse number 28 again, where John says, "And now, little children, abide in him." Then he says that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Could we bow our heads tonight for prayer? Our Father, this evening, we thank you, Lord, for the warming of our hearts tonight, for by the music that we've just heard presented, and we thank you tonight for that meeting that is scheduled, that is being planned in the air. We thank you, Father, tonight that the Savior will return, and we believe it could be soon. And our Father, help us tonight to pay attention, and dear Lord, to practice what we see in this portion of Scripture where John tells the people there to abide in him. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help us to pay close attention, to heed the Word of God. Lord, help us to understand this evening that these, even though they're difficult times, we're thankful, Father, for the resources that you've given us, whereby we can get through the journey, and Lord, we can have success along the way. Now, Lord, I pray your blessings upon the preaching of the Word. Bless the young people tonight in their meeting, and give us a good service, and address spiritual needs this evening, would be our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin tonight with a question. And this question, of course, I think strikes home to all of us, because we look back and we can remember when we were kids at home, and then, of course, when we were children in school. Many times we were admonished to pay attention, to sit up, to take notice, to pay attention, to listen to what was being told us. And many times we got into trouble because we didn't pay too close attention all of the time. Sometimes I'll be first to admit I'm guilty of when it comes to the area of paying attention all the time. Sometimes Carol reminds me that people may be talking to me, saying something to me, and then I might be thinking of something else or looking at someone else or entertaining or thinking about what I'm planning on talking to someone else about, it kind of just doesn't sink in. Then Carol will say, "Were you really listening to what that person was telling you?" Now, you know, this may seem a strange place for the preacher tonight to go on notice or record and make mention of a flaw, but what better place than in church? I think we all, from time to time, do not pay close enough attention to what is being said. And we certainly don't pay close attention to details many times. So you see, we get into trouble for not listening. And I think as we open our Bibles, begin to study the Scriptures, and then as even we have a public service like we're having here tonight, where we're having a church service with a preacher opening the Bible in a sermon now that we, by God's good help, are attempting to deliver, I think it's important that we pay attention. And when I say pay attention, I'm addressing myself tonight as much as anyone. I need, as much as you do, what I'm preaching this evening. And you see, I have to preach to myself because I really don't have a preacher. And I have to be my own preacher. And boy, I have a sorry preacher sometimes. I know that. But you see, we have to pay attention. And John is saying here in this precious passage of Scripture, he's talking about the matter of abide. He says, my little children, abide in Him. Abide in Him. You see, we need to understand tonight that the Bible is more than simply information. The Bible is instruction. The Bible is not just simply information. It is instruction. When we read it, when we preach it, when we study it, we're not just simply looking at the Bible in terms of the content, in terms of what's in print. We're looking at instruction also. We need to be doing what we read. We need to be applying. We need to be abiding in Him. It's one thing to be in Him, and thank God that's union. But when it comes to abiding, that enhances communion. When you come to John chapter 15, you'll find the word abide used quite often in John chapter 15. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. And you read the chapter. And basically the thought there is a matter of fellowship. Of fellowship. Because a branch is in the vine. That's union. But when it talks about abiding, that's communion. And so we do have a responsibility to be instructed whenever we come before the Word of God, whether it's reading it or whether it's hearing it preached. I think a fitting prayer before every service should be like this, Psalm 143. Here's a good passage to enter a service with. Here's what it says. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I shall walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will. Isn't that a great thought? Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of righteousness. We are here tonight to be instructed. We're here tonight to not be informed, but to be instructed. We are to pay attention. I know sometimes it's hard to pay attention, but I think we ought to make the best effort to pay attention when God's Word is open, because the Bible, again, as I said earlier, is not just simply information. The Bible is instruction. Throughout Scripture, we are admonished to apply what we hear. It's a book to obey. I think, for example, of Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So walk ye in Him. We have received Him. Now let's walk in Him. We know Him as Lord, as Savior. Now let that permeate our being. Let's walk in Him. Let's look at this verse of Scripture here. Let me attempt to do this. Let me attempt to break it apart, to parse it in a sense, to dissect it. And let's look at precious words in that one verse that I think are noteworthy, that I think give us tonight every reason in the world to pay attention. Let's look at it. Okay, let's look at it. Look at verse number 28. Notice what it says there. Little children. Oh, what a thought. Little children. Pay attention to the addressee. That's my thought. Pay attention to the addressee. John is saying, little children. Little children. You know that's what we are, Christian? We're little children. We're little children. That's an endearing thought. Little children. Don't you love children? I love children, don't you? I'll tell you, this world will be a dry, boring place without kids. I think this evening, I was thinking of that this morning. Little Lily Mae had a little tooth out. You know, Scott and Melanie's little daughter. Scott's not here tonight, is he? But little Lily Mae had a tooth out. And we got to talking about the tooth fairy. You're saying, Lord, where's the preacher going tonight preaching on tooth fairies? And I think Carol said, did you get anything from the tooth fairy? Well, when I was a kid in West Virginia, we were so poor, I used to get all kinds of IOUs from the tooth fairy. It was that bad. And the tooth fairy sometimes didn't pay off. But I think I had 2 quarters in my pocket, and I gave it to little Lily Mae. And I could see her running over and showing her siblings those quarters. And I think probably what I can expect now is every single one of those kids now will be showing me a tooth that's out. But don't you love kids? John says little children. That's thrilling. You see, we're a child of God tonight, Christian. But you see, we're also little children. You know, you love kids. God loves, that's another good reason why God loves us, because we're little children. We know He loves us, but that's another reason, little children. Pay attention to the addressee. You and I tonight mean something to the Lord. You and I tonight have a special relationship. You and I this evening are privileged to be God's kids. We're the King's kids. Really, when it's all said and done, in light of what the Bible teaches, you don't find poverty-stricken King's kids. We're blessed beyond measure. We're blessed. So pay attention to the addressee. Imagine that. Now consider, let me give you an example. Here's a hypothetical case. Let's imagine you are financially bankrupt. Let's say you go to see your banker, your creditor, and you say to your creditor, here's what I want you to do. I want you to clear my debt. I want you to give me a brand new start. And then I want you to adopt me as one of your kids. Now, after the creditor recovers from his a heart attack, what he will do is he'll make a phone call to the mental hospital and have us taken away. But now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. God does just that. God says, I know you're spiritually bankrupt. I know you're in debt. But I'll clear your debt. I'll give you a new start. And I'll adopt you as my child. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. God clears the debt. God gives us a new start. God adopts us as a child. In the Bible, when you study the idea of adoption, it's the idea of this. Now, okay, to help clarify myself, and I am so looking forward to getting this squeak out of this. Oh, I'm getting so tired of this squeaky platform. Whether we have the money or not, let's get this thing finished up here. Can't stand it. But anyway, that's beside the point. That won't cost you anything. Y'all hear that? You know what? I'll be having my 71st birthday the end of this month, and I can tell because I just forgot the point I was going to try to... Anybody know what I was going to say? Adoption, thanks. Okay, we're back on track again. You know, in the Bible, the concept of adoption means adoption as an adult son. You know, when you live in the system that we're living under, when it comes to adoption, the principle of adoption in our culture, well, depending on age, at a certain time, at a certain age, then we know that those that are adopted in terms, I'm talking now about the issue of inheritances and so forth, at a certain age. Obviously, certain inheritances would not become effective until a certain age. when we think of inheritances now. I hope I'm illustrating my point here. But now, when it comes to what God does, when He adopts us, we're adopted as an adult child, meaning that we immediately receive the benefits and the blessings appertaining thereto. The moment we're saved, we receive the inheritance, we receive the recognition, we are justified, we're a child of God. The moment they are saved, are just as justified as someone that's been saved 50 years. So far as justification is concerned. So we're adopted as an adult child. When God saves us, He bails us out of spiritual debt. We're set free. He gives us a new start. And then we're adopted into His family all at the same time. Little children. I love that. Pay attention to our title. God says little children. Now number two. Pay attention to the word abide. Not only pay attention to how we're addressed to the addressee, but pay attention to the word abide. Look at the verse, please. Little children abide. There's the word abide in Him. What does it mean to abide? Well now, all right, look at verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Pay attention to the word abide. Verse number 24 simply means stick to the truth. Stick to the truth. Solely look to Jesus. Child of God, stick to the truth. Solely look to Jesus. Keep abiding. Serve the Lord faithfully. 1 John 2:29, what does it say? If you know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Do righteousness. John says, everyone that doeth righteousness, how does it say? Let's look at it again. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. In other words, righteous living is a mark of being saved. Living for Christ, godly living. If you know He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. A true child of God will be doing righteousness. More than theory, more than statement. Some people can stand up and give a testimony and say, I'm saved, and thank God for a testimony like that. But I'll tell you, the proof of the pudding is when your feet hit that door, you go outside doing righteousness. It's easy as all get out to be a good Christian in church. You're surrounded by Christians. We have a hymn book to help us. We have the Bible to help us. We listen to the choir. We're among the people of God. But I'll tell you, the true test comes when we leave the church. When our feet hits the pavement. When we go to work in the morning. When we go to school tomorrow. That's where it pays. That's where it's proven. That's the proving ground. That's the proving ground. Doing righteousness. So, living for Christ proves the issue of salvation. But pay attention to the word abide. God didn't just save us and say, all right, you're on your own. See you in heaven. Journey's on you. No, no. Salvation means engagement. It means abiding. It means getting busy. It means walking right, talking right, viewing right, using our hands right. Christianity affects our being. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now how can Christ be in us and we're not changed? Impossible. Abide. Somebody put it like this, and I love this statement. I heard it years ago, read it somewhere, don't even know who made the quote. They said, to a disciple, a command is as sacred as a promise. To a disciple, a command is as sacred as a promise. You and I are to salute every command that God gives. Years ago in Iraq, I happened to be walking outside of the hooch that we lived in one day. The commander came by, and I failed to salute him. He pulled over. He said, "Chaplain, don't you salute anymore?" And that basically he let me know I had the responsibility to salute him because I was a subordinate officer. You see, we ought to, when we open our Bibles, we read the Word of God, we see a verse like that, we ought to salute it. Because a command is as sacred as a promise. Let that sink in. Don't you love the promises of the Bible? Don't you love, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee"? Don't you love that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? Don't you love, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Don't you believe, don't you love those promises? But what about this? Abide, abide in me. Abide in Him. Let's salute the word abide. Let's pay attention to that as well. Now, the question might be, what would God have you to do? What is the Lord tugging at your heart about? What is it that you feel like you need to do for the Lord? Well, while you're in the process of fine-tuning what the will of God is, just salute all of God's commands concerning the basic things, and then God will show you those fine-tuned areas as you go down the life road of life. Be a good Christian. Be faithful in church. Love the Bible. Read the Bible. Give yourself much prayer. Do the basics. Salute those basics. Abide in Him and God will bless you. How important that is to know that. Pay attention to the word abide. Settle down. Be at home. In the context of command as much as promise, abide. You say, "Now, preacher, would you illustrate that a little bit further to help me out a little bit along that line? What does it mean to abide? How do we abide?" A lot of times we see something and we say, "How do I do it?" Right? How do I abide? Well, let's go back to what I said earlier. By abiding in church, you're doing the right thing tonight because you're in church. You're at a good place on Sunday night. This is a good place to be. Now, I don't know about you, but this morning, what I preached, I needed it. But you know what I'm preaching tonight? I need this too. I can't quite make it on just what I had this morning. I need all I can get. I need to get all I can and can all I get. Like somebody said. So a good place to start and a good way to abide is to abide in the church. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, the Bible talks about the local church being the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. That simply means that the New Testament church, the New Testament congregation, is a trustee for the truth of God. When you study it out, if people can't come to church and find the truth, then you tell me where are they going to find it? The church, I'm talking about a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, is a trustee of the truth. We are guardians of the truth. We are mandated to preach it, to model it, and to teach it. We're to guard it. We owe the church several things. Did you know that? Including me. We owe the church our presence. We owe the church our prayers. We owe the church our participation. We are in debt. We owe this church some things. Me and you. We're in it together. So abide. Abide in the church. I love illustrations, and when I run across a good one, I try to use it. I heard one time, D.L. Moody. Y'all know D.L. Moody. Well, I know you don't know him personally. You remember old D.L. Moody. You've heard about him. 19th century, tremendous preacher, pastor, founded Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, school that exists to this day. Many people have been trained in Moody Bible Institute. Many great preachers, teachers have gone through Moody. But Dwight L. Moody once brought a pew full of boys and girls from the street to the church, and they were anticipating joining. Now, the presence of the Moody's, of Moody, in other words, he invited those boys to come to church. They had been saved, and he invited them because they, as saved people now, need to be baptized, need to join the church. Well, he had led them to the Lord. So he brings them to the church, and his desire was that they get on in the church and start serving God. But it just so happened that church was aristocratic. Is that right, folks? Aristocratic. Sometimes my West Virginia kicks in. Aristocratic. There you go. You'd never know I had a doctorate, would you? DR sometimes stands for dummy. This aristocratic church, they couldn't handle these little dirty-looking kids off the streets, now in church, and to think that those kids would become a part of their church. Well, the church board suggested to D.L. Moody, you just take a month to pray about it, pray about the desire to join this church. About a month went by, and Moody was asked by the board, did you pray about those kids becoming a part of this church? And Moody said, I have. And then the church board said, well, what did God tell you? What was the results? What did the Lord say? D.L. Moody said, the Lord indicated to me that this wasn't a place for them to join. But he told me not to feel too bad about those kids not joining this church because he's been trying to get in this church himself for 20 years and hadn't been able to get in. You know, the sad thing, folks, is the fact that God is not even welcome in some churches. Imagine that. Do you know that God is not welcomed in a church that doesn't preach the truth? That doesn't preach the Word of God? God's not welcomed in a church that doesn't honor and exalt His Son. God's not welcome. Because the only way to please the Father is to accept and love and worship and serve His Son. That's the only way. We need to pay attention tonight to the addressy little children. We need to pay attention tonight to the word abide. Because that's our marching orders. Then we need to pay attention tonight. And we could say a whole lot of other things about how do we abide. Well, church, searching the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Jesus said, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. Store the Scriptures. That's how we abide. Yes, faithful in our church, but loving the Word of God, and I know I've been preaching on this lately, but searching the Scriptures, storing the Scriptures. You say, can you prove that biblically? Yes. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. Storing the Scriptures. You know, there comes a time in our lives to where we're not going to have our Bible in our hand. There may come a time in our life, even in America, to where we're not even able to carry a Bible. We don't know where persecution may take us. We don't know what's around the bend. I will say this evening. This world, this culture, this society is no friend to grace. And I do believe this. I believe that times are going to get tougher and worse the closer we get to the trumpet. I believe this. You know, in the last days, perilous times will come. There will be a falling away. There may come a time in America that the people of God may be persecuted. We may wind up having to stand for God. We may wind up in prison. Who knows? I'm not a prophet of doom this evening, but I'm just trying to be honest in terms of reality. This world hates the Christian. No friend of grace. And there may come a time in our life that we're going to be glad we stored the Word of God in our hearts. I'll say this for what it's worth. There have been many times in my life when I've been out driving down the road and I couldn't read the Bible and drive. That'd be something, wouldn't it? How would you explain that to a policeman? Why did you hit that telephone pole? Well, I was reading the Bible. That sounds pretty good, but I still don't think that'd get you off. That is, if you live through the crash. We find ourselves many times in situations where we're thinking of a passage of Scripture that we've memorized as a child. And it's helped us. I woke up at nighttime with a passage of Scripture on my mind and on my heart. All storing the Word of God. I know it's not easy to memorize many times. It's not easy. But you know, it's amazing. You could take one verse, if you just keep reading it over and over and over and over, it'll surprise you how it'll sink in. But storing, I believe that helps us to abide. Store the Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. The Word keeps us from sin. But on the other hand, sin will keep us from the Word. We need to store it. You know, people are storing everything else. These recent hurricanes, people were storing water, milk, necessities. Wouldn't it be something if we were as devout and devoted towards storing God's Word? And I know we're talking about physical existence. I understand that. But what about spiritual existence? Storing the Word. I say tonight, search the Scriptures, store the Scriptures, share the Scriptures. We abide when we share. Giving the Scriptures out. Giving tracts away. And then walk in the Spirit of God. That's how we abide. The secret to victory in the Christian life. We need to pay attention. I've got to hurry. Pay attention to the addressee, little children. Pay attention to abide. That's command. Then pay attention to the appearance of Christ. Verse 28. Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, He shall appear. There's no and, ifs, buts about it. It's treated as a certainty. He shall appear. The word shall is used before the word appear. He shall appear. It is certain He shall appear. He's coming back. He's coming soon. There's no doubt. Song says, I'll leave this world with a shout. He shall appear. We need to pay attention to that. I believe Christ is coming back, don't you? I believe He's coming soon. I believe He could come and give His invitation before I get to my invitation. And I'd much rather have His invitation than mine. He could say, come up hither any moment. He shall appear. We need to abide with that truth on our hearts. We need to live in light of His return. We need to so order our lives and live our lives that we're expecting Him to come back any moment. You folks know what it's like to have people to visit your homes. You know this. You know, if you know someone's coming to see you, and I know this is an old illustration, but you know you always get your house in order. That's just common sense. You don't want people to walk in your house. I've been in some situations quite amusing down through the years. And I'm not talking about anyone here now, so you can relax. But I've been in some unusual situations, going into people's homes, witnessing to people. I've had everything to happen in people's homes. One time, and I think I've told you this, if you've heard this before, act like you haven't anyway, at least make me feel good. I was in a home one time, and a kid brings out a little canary. I know I've told this. Canary flew all around, let the canary out the cage, out the little bird cage. Canary flew all around the room and sat on top of my head. I'm trying to have a serious conversation. And there sets that canary on top of my head, and I'm trying to talk. Next thing I knew, that canary began to pick my hair. And folks, that can be dangerous for me. Form a mental picture, would you? And one time we were in a home, and a kid brings out, had a little flying squirrel. Brings out a flying squirrel, says, "Pastor, I want you to see this flying squirrel." That flying squirrel flew all around that room. I'm in church, I'm telling you the honest truth. I raised my right hand to prove the point. That flying squirrel flew straight to Carol and lit on her leg and climbs up her leg. You think Jerry Clower could beat that one? That guy looks at me and says, "Pastor, what are you going to do?" Comes, "Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!" That happened in a home. Now, that wasn't planned, I'll guarantee you. But I'm telling you what. I believe if those people would have known what would have happened, that kid would have kept that bird inside that cage. And that other kid would have kept that flying squirrel contained. But now to get serious, I believe the knock could come on our door tonight and Christ could be there in a sense. I'm saying He could come back tonight. Are we living as those who are expecting Him? Is our spiritual house in order? Is our house in order? Hezekiah was told to set your house in order before you die. Tomorrow you'll die. We need to set our house in order. We need to pay attention tonight to the appearance of Christ. This is more than a doctrine. This is more than what we believe here in the Baptist church. This is a reality. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Any minute. And let's live in light of that. Pay attention to the appearance of Christ. And then finally, pay attention to the need of accountability. One final word and I'm done. Notice, when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Not be ashamed. Here's the fact. Christians will go up in the rapture. Well, I believe it's a judgment seat of Christ. Many may be ashamed because our works will be tried by fire. Some works will be of the status of gold, silver, precious stone. They will endure the test of fire. But others will be wood, hay, stubble, and will be consumed. And then Paul uses a word in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, suffer loss. Tie that in with being ashamed. See, we need to abide tonight with that concept, that idea of being accountable, living for the Lord, being faithful, laying up treasures in heaven, not being ashamed when He comes. Oh, it's going to be wonderful to go to heaven. But God has still put some value in faithful Christian service and living for Him that will have a bearing on the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ is not about whether we go to heaven or hell. The judgment seat of Christ, I think, ties in with the capacity that you and I will have to glorify the risen Lord throughout eternity. Rewards will mean crowns to lay back at His feet. When we proclaim Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I don't care about a big crown sitting on my head going for living forever in eternity with a big crown. No, no. I think then I'm going to desire more than anything else to love Him, to worship Him, to honor Him. And the crowns we lay up in heaven, I think, will translate into our ability to have a greater capacity to do the very thing that'll mean the most to us then, glorifying our Lord. Now that doesn't mean that much me time. It'll mean everything then. And that's how I view crowns. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight to abide in Him. Lord, help us this evening to pay attention to the addressee, to abide. Help us to pay attention tonight to His appearance. Help us to pay attention to accountability. God, help us this evening to pay close attention.